This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, broadcasting as always from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch us on SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, and the VSiN Watch app. And remember, you can download the program wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to go a little bit down the road here in Las Vegas, checking in another sportsbook, hitting the Westgate, finding out where the money is going on some of these big games this weekend in the NFL. And joining us to do so is our buddy, Arthur DeCesar, Westgate Superbook Risk Manager at ArtDice21 on X. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Art, talk to me, man. Thursday Night Football was a doozy. Falcons pull off the outright win as 5.5-point road favorites, 29-28. We go over the total. Implications on the NFC South now after this, with Tampa Bay moving to 7-7, Carolina playing New Orleans this weekend. But coming off this game, how'd you guys do on Thursday Night Football with the Falcons picking up the win?
Yeah, you know, Dustin, it was one of those games where it didn't get a lot of love. It didn't feel like a lot of people were really interested in the game. So Atlanta ending up winning and covering the game going over, it was actually just a small loser for us. And if it was reversed and Tampa won and went over under, it would have only been a small winner. So it wasn't really anything that was going to shift our night or, you know, a lot of implications going into Sunday with money line parlays or teasers. So it was kind of just a break-even night, really.
Well, the South did get more interesting, though, because after this loss for Tampa, yeah, I'm seeing their minus 135 at one shop to win the division. Carolina's down to plus 105. I'm just curious, were you guys taking any action on the Panthers when they were super long odds? Were most people coming in trying to lay that wood with Tampa Bay as a heavy favorite?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those divisions where there were a couple of divisions that have gotten a little bit tighter here over the last month. That was the one division where we never really saw money on Carolina. So now, are people going to be late to the party now and wake up tomorrow where we put up the new odds and say, hey, now I got to go get Carolina at the worst number? It's possible we could see it. Obviously, they play two more times. But yeah, we never took big money on them at like 8-1, 10-1, whatever the long shot odds were. It was one of the divisions we avoided that stuff on.
Well, another game this weekend that has divisional implications, and the AFC will essentially be decided with Buffalo going to New England looking for revenge as the Pats won at Orchard Park earlier in the year. Right now I'm seeing you guys have it as the Bills laying one, a total of 49.5. How are they betting this one?
Yeah, this is a phenomenal game. There's some really marquee key games, obviously this being one of them. We opened the game pick. Sharps took pick with Buffalo. We're now Buffalo minus one, as you mentioned. We saw our total rise, too, from a total of 48 as an opener to 49.5. I think we're going to see really good two-way action on this game. I think you can see the public on both sides. You can see the sharp on both sides. I think this line indicates that. I don't want to say we'll probably need anyone in the game, but I mean, right now the early money is on Buffalo, but I think we're going to see New England money come Sunday.
Yeah, it just feels like whoever's the dog's probably going to get a little bit, especially if it gets a little bit longer here. So yeah, I get what you're saying there. Arthur DeCesar is with us, Westgate Superbook Risk Manager at ArtDice21 on X. All right, I'm fascinated by this game. I just feel like you guys are just going to take Kansas City money. You've probably only been taking Kansas City money, but I think more is coming. And right now, you guys got it at the Westgate. Kansas City minus 5.5 hosting the Chargers, total of 41.5. Are you just seeing nothing but money on KC?
Yeah, I mean, they laid 4.5, and we're now 5.5. This, to me, is one of the head-scratchers. I don't know how you come in and bet Kansas City, but they're doing it. The public's doing it. The sharps are doing it. We're now in that 5.5, probably move to 6 range, where you'll see a lot of Kansas City teaser stuff. Obviously, you'll see a lot of Kansas City money line stuff as well. I'd be shocked if by the time we kick off, the Chargers aren't one of our biggest needs on Sunday.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense to me. I would go even 6, 6.5. I think we're just going to keep on rising when it comes to the Chiefs, just because everyone who bets is just accustomed to Kansas City figuring it out. How about Green Bay and Denver? Because this is a tough one. Every time we start to believe in the Packers, they do something to make us question what they are. They're 2.5-point road favorites at Denver. Total right now is 42.5. I bet the under in this one. What are you seeing here?
Well, yeah, good move on that under because we took sharp money on the under at 43.5. We're now 42.5. You know, we opened Green Bay 1.5. We got to as high as 2.5, back to 2. Kind of been bouncing around. The sharps are really happy to lay Green Bay. And Denver's one of those teams, despite their great record and being one of the best teams on paper, record-wise, in the NFL, the public doesn't seem to bet them. The sharps don't seem to bet them. So Denver's one of those funny teams that despite their record, they don't get a lot of love in the betting market. Obviously, Green Bay does with not only the sharps, but the public. So I think Denver's actually going to be a pretty good need for us as well, even though I do think there will be some Denver teaser stuff because you could tease them up over a touchdown at home.
Oh, I think that makes a lot of sense. Arthur DeCesar's with us, Westgate Superbook Risk Manager at ArtDice21 on X. All right, this one's been on the move. We opened with the Rams -4.5. We're up to 6 pretty much everywhere. Total is super high for an NFL game at 55. And I imagine it's nothing but LA money, which kind of surprises me. I this is a spot where I want Detroit, but maybe I'm wrong about that, Arthur.
Yeah, Dustin, I'm with you. When you initially looked at the game, we opened 4.5. Sharps laid 4.5. They laid 5.5. We've been 6 now pretty much over these last 48 hours. And then when you're in the 6 range, if you don't want to lay that anymore, now you're going to be in money line parlays. You're going to be in teasers with the Rams. Obviously, Detroit will be a big need for us. Totally, you got to touch on. I mean, 52.5 as an opener. We're now 55, one of the highest totals I can remember. But it might not be high enough. It feels like Detroit always gives up 30. I mean, they can score as well. I think the public's going to come in and bet that as well. I think we're going to reach a point where maybe we tick up another half a point or even a full point. So keep your eye on that total.
All right, talk to me about Monday Night Football, because the story about TJ Watt is weird and scary at the same time, a lung issue. He was hospitalized earlier today. I already liked Miami taking the 3.5. You guys look like the only shop I can see in town that still has it at 3.5, total of 41.5. It feels nuts to like Tua in the cold in December, but that to me feels like the play. What are you seeing with the action here?
Dustin, I'm with you. I think you can't lay more than a field goal with Pittsburgh, but we recognize we'll take Pittsburgh money, and we have. So we've actually taken money on both sides. Now, if you do want to come in and bet Miami at the Westgate, you do have to lay a little bit of juice on that +3.5. But I think as far as a Monday night game goes, that will see pretty good two-way action. Public eventually will come up and load up on Pittsburgh because they always do. I think we'll need Miami by the time we kick off that game Monday night.
All right. Let's now go to the college football playoff. We've got these seeds set. We have our opening round matchups. We have a rematch in one of the games. Alabama's going to go to Norman, Oklahoma, take on the Sooners. I'm seeing right now, you guys have it as a pick 'em. Total's 40.5. There was a point where I was looking at the odds for this game, Arthur. Some shops had it Alabama favored. Some had Oklahoma favored. It's still somewhat undecided. You guys are playing it smart. You got to write it a pick. Talk to me about the action here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to be fair. We did open Alabama as the favorite. So we took a position on Alabama being the favorite. And then we said, as we normally like to do we have sharp accounts that will come in and take a side against our position? And they did. They took Oklahoma at the +1, little bit of money line. So we went right with the market, went to pick. But we felt good about opening Alabama as the favorite because we do think they are the better team and should be favored.
All right, and then the other opening round matchup, we've got Miami, Florida, Texas A&M, where A&M opened -3.5. It's still 3.5. The total 51.5 pretty much across the board. What are you seeing with the early movement there?
Pretty good two-way action. I mean, we've been 3.5 from our opening number. Probably have taken 60 to 40 money on Miami. Obviously, we got a full week or so before these games even kick off. So I think a lot more of the money and the money that might move stuff will start coming in this upcoming week. But early money is on Miami, despite no move for us. It's just people are loading up, taking on a number that's over a field goal.
Now, when it comes to the money line parlays, I feel like the next two games we're going to discuss in the college football playoff with Arthur DeCesar, risk manager of the Westgate Superbook. Probably a lot of action coming in on Oregon on that money line. They're laying 21.5 against James Madison. That total is pretty much stood pat at 50.5. Are you seeing nothing but Ducks money?
nothing but Ducks money. We opened, 21, got to 21 and a half. And you mentioned the Oregon game, the Ole Miss game, which we'll touch on here. Those are going to be the quote-unquote free bingo squares on everyone's 6 to 8 to 10 team money line parlays that upcoming weekend. They'll connect all the games with NFL games, with NBA, those are going to be the ones where they say, oh, well, we know that's a winner. So, obviously, if we can get any of those big teams to lose, whether it's Oregon or Ole Miss, it'd be really good for us.
And then finally, in about 45 seconds, Tulane and Ole Miss, Mississippi Lane, 17.5, total 56.5. Same story there?
Same story there. And, we opened a little bit lower because we said, hey, what's really going to go on with this Lane Kiffin situation? Let's just downgrade Ole Miss a little bit. We opened 16.5. But quickly moved to 17, and now we're 17.5 with the rest of the market.
Yeah, I feel like the move there, because I'm just trying to find ways to parlay the Thunder to win the title, to build up that ticket a little. Yeah. It's just nothing but I want to do money line parlays every week and then end it with the Thunder to win the title. He's Arthur DeCesar. Go see him over at the Westgate Superbook. Tell him you heard him here on Cashing Out, and follow him on X at ArtDice21. Arthur, you're the man. I love this chat every single week. We'll do it again next week.
Dustin, you are the man, my friend. Thanks for having me on, and we will chat next week.
Great stuff from Arthur, per usual. Oh, my God. I'm trying to find a way to bet the Thunder. It's inevitable. Like, I just feel like it's better than my 401k. It's just put money on the Thunder to win the title this year. It's going to happen. Hey, when we return, did Todd Bowles go Tommy Lasorda on us? I'll explain what I mean on the other side of Cashing Out.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson, broadcasting from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. It's Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And in case you missed it, as we hit the air, we took you through the end of Thursday Night Football, where the Falcons picked up the 29-28 win on the road against Tampa Bay. Comeback victory has major implications on the NFC South. And for the Atlanta Falcons, they found a way. I don't know how they found a way. They had 19 penalties for 125 yards. They are a sloppy, bad football team. But there's a lot of weapons that are really good. And that makes you wonder why Raheem Morris is still the man for the job. Even though they got this win today, I think this actually amplifies why he's not a good coach, because this team should be competitive. This team should be good. And if they could play mistake-free football, they'd be awfully dangerous in today's NFL. Kyle Pitts led the way for Atlanta. 11 catches, 166 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He was 110-1 to score 3 touchdowns in this game. He ended up also cashing at 19-1 for 2 touchdowns in this game. He was plus 235 for an anytime touchdown. Easily goes over on his receptions. Easily goes over on his yards. And as part of this game, we are going to use Todd Bowles after this game as part of Night Bites, which we're going to get to right now.
At 4th-and-1 at midfield, they're up 11. The Raiders really can't do anything.
But they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Night Bites.
And our first bite of the night in Night Bites is going to come from the losing coach on Thursday Night Football. That would be Todd Bowles, because after this loss, the Buccaneers have moved to 7-7 on the year. The Carolina Panthers will take on the Saints this week, and they are 2.5-point road favorites down in the Big Easy. And you look in the betting market, Tampa Bay went from a heavy $3 favorite this past week, even longer than that a while back, or shorter than that a while back, to now minus 135 to win the division. Carolina is plus 105, and Todd Bowles knows how crucial this loss was. This is how he reacted after the game.
Tell them in the locker room after a game like this.
It's inexcusable. You don't make excuses. You got to care enough where it hurts. You got to care enough where it hurts. It got to mean something to you. It's more than a job. It's your livelihood. How well do you know your job? How well can you do your job? Well, you can't sugarcoat that. It was inexcusable, and there's no answer for it. There's no excuse for it. That's what you tell them in the locker room, looking in the mirror.
I mean, is that the new Tommy Lasorda? What'd you think of Dave Kingman's performance? I don't have an opinion on his performance. And then he just goes on the F-bomb raid. Shout out, by the way, to Johnny Campbell, associate producer of this program. He had to go there and individually put every one of those bleeps in there. And believe me, if he would have missed one, he would have gotten in a lot of trouble. Or did Andrew do that? I see Andrew looking at me. No, it was Johnny. Okay, it was Johnny. Shout out to Johnny. Shout out to Andrew, the whole crew. Everyone does a great job here on the show. I like hanging out with my guys and gals late at night here on Cashing Out. But I thought that was a wild reaction from Todd Bowles. I just love how, like, he's angry and the words he's saying are angry, but he's still, like, blood pressure is, like, below the normal numbers. I don't know what normal numbers are. Mine are always, like, slightly high. I know that's a shocker looking at me. I know I look like the epitome of health over here. But he still couldn't get, like, amplified. He couldn't yell. He didn't, like, have a vein popping out. He's just like, F this, F that, F this, F that, blah, 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 blah. Same monotone voice when they win, same monotone voice when they lose. But that's a bad loss for Tampa. That is a bad. There's no way around it. You had a chance to really, really capitalize in this division. You were the favorite for a long time. And if Carolina wins it, I think there's major implications, not just with them winning the division from a betting standpoint, but Dave Canales would be live for Coach of the Year. We bet him at 30-1. We liked him because of that. I was actually surprised to see he is still pretty long in the market for Coach of the Year. He was 45-1 right after this game. I want to see if it moved at all. Still 40-1. So it moved slightly. He's at 40-1 right now. That was our first bite in Night Bites. And what we do here on the show, it's late at night, early in the morning, depending wherever you are. You can't listen to VSiN all day long. Don't worry. We'll condense it. We'll bring you the best clips from all day long right here on the Sports Betting Network. And we have an awesome NBA podcast. It's called Hardwood Handicappers. Zach Cohen, Kelly Bidlin, Jonathan Von Tobel, all of them involved. Zach does it every single day. But we all know JVT birthed it. JVT came up with the name. He did it daily for a long time. And JVT went on with Zach earlier today, and they had a discussion that I can't wait to hear, because they talked about how we can handicap Oklahoma City in the futures market right now.
It's crazy. I mean, I did a little bit of digging to kind of talk about the back-to-backs, and I feel like in doing so, I kind of talked myself out of this being an extended winning streak, because January 15th to 21st, they have a four-game road trip where they go Houston, Miami, Cleveland, Milwaukee, and I don't know if Milwaukee's going to have Giannis or not by then, but those first three games are very tough. I can easily see them losing multiple games there. I don't know if it happens back to back or not, but then also January 29th and February 1st, Minnesota and Denver road games. And then to end the season, April 7th to 10th, when the season really should be wrapped up for OKC at that point, they'll go at Lakers, at Clippers, at Nuggets later in the year. So that kind of really, I do think they're going to lose back to back at some point, but you know, I do think 74 plus seems very, very possible.
Yeah, I agree. How about this? I think they're going to be closer to 80 than they are to 70. I think we're going on the other side of 74. I think we're looking at 75, 76, 77, which is stupid. They shouldn't be this good, but they are this good. They're better than last year. They're deeper than last year. They now have the experience of a season ago. They know how to pace themselves throughout a season. And the thing that you respect the most about the Thunder is that they're competitive. There's no let up. There's no load management. There's no just focusing on the postseason. No, they treat every game like it matters. And I think that's part of their success, why they've been at this level now going back a couple of years. And those dudes love playing with each other. There's no bad locker room guys. There's no issues when one guy has a good game and another guy doesn't. They all kind of lift each other up. And it's most noticeable in the postgame interview on the court when their sideline guy for their TV affiliate has them there and all of them show up to support whoever the star of the game is who's getting interviewed. I would never tell you just like take a short price on a team to win the title, but I honestly don't see a world where they don't win the championship this year in the NBA. So I'm trying to find ways to parlay them with someone, with other bets, because I just want to build that ticket up to make it a little juicier. You have to wait a long time, but I'm strongly considering a few parlays over the next few weeks of OKC to win the title and the Dodgers to win the World Series. They're both dominant. They both feel like they're definitely going to at least be in the championship. So if you wanted to hedge, you could. And right now that ticket's about 7.5 to 1. So that is our second bite here on Night Bites. Now let's go to the Megapod, hosted by our own Gil Alexander. And he had Will Hill, who is the man. I used to love doing my live betting shows with Will Hill, who finds really good angles, does awesome research for all of his bets and everything that he does here on the network. And they got into a discussion about the Patriots and how they're handling fourth down and their success rate just being not sustainable. Here's what Will Hill had to say about that, and specifically in the matchup against Buffalo this week.
Fourth downs this year. The Patriots are, let's see, 14 of 18. Their opponents are 7 of 22. So Patriots have gone for it 18 times. They've gotten it 14 times. That's basically a turnover. Every time you go for it on fourth down, that's an unsustainable clip there. 7 for 22 is obviously, you know, under expectation. Fumble recoveries, Patriots 10th luckiest team in terms of recovering fumbles. And Drake May played college football at North Carolina. He grew up at North Carolina. I know he's on the Patriots, but it's not like he's played in cold weather a bunch here in his young career. Allen lives for this. He's used to it. I'm still skeptical of this Patriots team overall. I know they're off a bye in their home, but I will take what I think is the better team. In a close game, which I expect it to be, I'll just take Allen over May here. I'll take the Bills minus the points.
Yeah, I think that's the right side. I agree with Will. I have a couple player props I like in that game. Ty Johnson, I like Allen over rushing. But if I was betting the side, I would think about the Buffalo Bills. I just think Allen finds a way to will his team to a win. And then finally here, we have a great college football podcast. Tim Murray hosts it, the College Football Betting Podcast. Wes Reynolds appeared on it this week, and they talked about how much they liked the Oregon Ducks' path to a potential national championship.
I think Oregon can absolutely win it all now, and I underestimated them this year. I thought they were going to be a little bit down. Now, the schedule was pretty permissible, but and they lost to Indiana, but that was a tie game in the fourth quarter. Indiana, like we said, with the Big Ten championship game on Saturday, is just a little bit better, but not by a lot. They weren't a lot better against Oregon, and I think Oregon has been lying in the weeds a little bit, you know, just kind of waiting, and they might be out to prove something. They're a very dangerous five seed for whoever gets them deeper in the draw.
They are, and you know what? I agree with them, because if you go check out the VSiN College Football Playoff Betting Guide, the most attractive person on camera right now picked them to win the title. I've got Oregon over A&M. You want to see what everyone else has? You're going to have to go get the College Football Betting Guide. It was mostly the path, but it's also the physicality. It's the vacuum of each individual game, and I just trust Dan Lanning. He had one loss at home to Indiana. I think they learned some lessons from that. And I think Oregon, with the way things shake out, could go on a run. Go get this special right now. You can buy the guide for $14.99 or become a pro. You'll get the guide included, plus fully access to everything we do over at VSiN.com, the splits, the picks, the tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get your guide now at VSiN.com/CFP. We'll preview the CFP on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. In case you missed it, a wild Thursday night football game, the Falcons with a 29-28 win, which begins week 15 in the National Football League. We'll put that to the side right now. Talk a little college football. I see my man Colby Dant has got some FCS plays. I won on Prairie View last week. I took him as 8.5-point dogs. They won outright, although it doesn't look like he likes them this week against SC State. So we will talk about that. We've got Army-Navy. We've got a bowl game already, and we've got college hoops. So without further ado, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in Colby Dant, Sports Gambling Podcast, the college experience at the Colby D on X. Let's frame this for people, because I think people listening hear guys like us in the media hype up Army-Navy. I grew up going to Army games. I went to a few years when I was a little kid. I used to go to that campus all the time. I grew up like 20 minutes away. Then I finally got to go to an Army-Navy game in Philadelphia a while back. It's still the best experience I've ever had at a sporting event. You love Army-Navy. You grew up near Annapolis in the Naval Academy. Talk to me about this rivalry. What's it mean to you?
I think it's the greatest rivalry personally in college football. And I know Michigan, Ohio State, they got, you know, you're trying to ban, you know, flags from being put at midfield, but or poison trees down there at Auburn, Alabama. But for me, this one, if you have an experience that you just don't know, and I'm very appalled, by the way, of the people that that think this should be the game that opens the season. I can't stand that thought. do not touch this thing. This thing is exactly perfect in either late November or early December. So please don't touch that. But this is everything, man. And there's no opt-outs. There's no nothing. This is football. You know, I know some people say, well, they have prehistoric offenses. I don't care. It is to me the most beautiful football game that we get every year. And if you know the rivalry, if you've been to the game, or if you know someone that went to Army or someone that went to Navy, then I think you might know just how important this rivalry is. So, yeah, I love this thing, man, and I can't wait for it. It's my favorite. It's probably my favorite football game all year.
It's the best. And you want a little weather involved. You want some snow. You want it to be sloppy. And I think it's a beautiful thing that they play the offenses that they play because they have to. And then the great irony of it all is that they're going to battle and then they're going to go defend all of us in the future in some way, shape, or form. When it comes to the game, though, I'm surprised it's being bet up as high as it is. We open Navy -4.5. We're up to 6. Total's at 38.5 at some shops. I think you got to take Army in the points here. This game is always 50-50.
Yeah, you know what? I nailed this one last year where I took Navy because Army had just won against Tulane in the AAC championship. But Army had the magical season. And Navy ruined that. They wrecked that. I think it's the roles are completely reversed here. As you know, Navy, you know, kind of lost out on a tiebreaker to play in the AAC championship. And then who knows? They might have been into the playoffs. But they've had a great season. Offensive coordinator Drew Cronic coming in has been a big difference for the midshipmen over the past 2 years. But I'm with you. Army started out incredibly young, but as that season's gone along, you saw them win at UTSA. They almost knocked off Kansas State in the Little Apple, right? This team's grown up right before our eyes. And I think a lot of this team was on the roster. They weren't necessarily starting. They were on the roster last year and felt that defeat. So I love Munkin when he's a dog. He's catching 6. That's a huge number in this game. Go look at the history of this game. A lot of these games, 3-point games, 4-point games, 2-point games. So give me the 6. I think the money line is live. And I just have a rule. I bet the under every year. Some years, I feel like it's like once out of every 17 years, the over hits. I don't care. I'll cough up that money. But I feel decent about it. They study each other's offenses. They run similar stuff. I know Drew Cronic and Navy like to pass the ball more than this offense has seen in quite a while, but I think Army will be prepared for it quite well.
The money line is always live in this game. It's just a fact. It does not matter if one team isn't, we had a run with Keenan Reynolds and Navy where they were unstoppable. They were awesome. And Army still gave them everything they could every single time that they met up. Colby Dance with us. He gives us everything he's got every time we meet up. Sports Gambling Podcast Network at the Colby D on X. We also have a bowl game, which is weird that it's this early in the bowl season. It is the L.A. Bowl at SoFi Stadium, where Boise State's taking on Washington. Huskies laying, 10 right now at DraftKings, 9.5 at some other shops. 52.5 is the total. Which direction do you want to look?
Yeah, I like the Boise side of this. Now, I mean, this bowl game was announced today that it's actually going away next year. This used to be the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. My thing is just what with Washington, we're hearing now Jed Fish might be in the running for the Michigan job. I'm expecting opt-outs. That's something we all should factor in with all these bowl games, specifically the power schools. I expect a lot of opt-outs or guys in the transfer portal. And Boise is a team that I think with Maddox Madsen, they're better than their record, actually. Now, I know that they didn't have them for a couple games. They lost a few games. But I was on them last week against UNLV. I just buy into the culture of Boise and what they established there. I think they'll take this game really serious. I can't say the same for Washington, who's just saying, okay, disappointment, missed out on the playoffs by a game or two. And, you know, our head coach is potentially being rumored to go to Michigan. And also, like, I just wonder, we saw a few players opt out, like Byron Brown for South Florida. I fully expect opt-outs on Washington's side. Something to monitor. If you're going to take the Washington side, you might want to wait until you see who's actually hitting the field. But on Boise's side, I think they're going to be mainly intact. So I'm going to take Boise. I think, once again, the money line is live here.
I think that's the right call. I think that is absolutely the right call. I may be doing that as well on Saturday afternoon. We also have some FCS games. They'll begin Friday. It's Stephen F. Austin, Montana State. Montana State's the one with the dynamic offense, right? They're the ones everyone's kind of ripping off and copying at the next level. Montana State laying 13.5, totals 53.5, and you want to lay the wood with the favorite?
Yeah, and this has jumped up a little bit. It was at 11.5. Now it's at 13.5. But look, Stephen F. Austin just won a big rivalry game against Abilene Christian in the playoffs. Abilene had beat him earlier in the year. And they start Sam Vidlak. I know some people might be wondering who that you that he started for Oregon State a few games over the past couple of years back with Jonathan Smith. So veteran quarterback, but going up, my main thing is just going from Texas up to up to freezing temperatures. I think it's like a high of 38, chance of snow in Bozeman, and knowing that you just beat your rivals. And Montana State is a power. I think if you're a Montana State fan or if you're head coach Brent Vegan, you look around, you saw North Dakota State and South Dakota State get knocked off. Those are the two powers along with Montana State and Montana. You say, this is our tournament to get now. This is our national championship to get. So I'm going to lay it with Montana State after somewhat of a close call game with, or closer than what people projected with Yale. I think they answered the calling here.
Colby Dance, our guest, sports gambling podcast at the Colby D on X. It's so weird, Villanova, that like they're as elite as they are in basketball, but they're still FCS when it comes to college football. They're facing Tarleton State. Tarleton State opened as -9.5. It's now up to 12.5. Total is 53.5. How do you play? How do you want to play that game?
Yeah, and if you watched Villanova last week, they got severely outgained, I think by like 150 yards by Lehigh. That game was at Lehigh, but Lehigh couldn't hold on to the ball. They kept fumbling, and then Villanova was able to capitalize with Pat Lone Wolf McQuaid there at the quarterback spot. But I think this is a tough spot. Tarleton State has been building up this program to jump to the FBS. There's a lot of speculation they could be the next CUSA team. And with good reason, they're 12-1. They beat Army, by the way, at Army earlier this year. Victor Gabalas, veteran quarterback. But what I love is the line of scrimmage. They spend more money than a lot of the power, like not power conference, but like CUSA teams.
Yeah.
So I'm all over Tarleton State here. I think they're another one that might be licking their chops when you see South Dakota State and North Dakota State gone here.
All right, let's go college hoops real quick. Texas at UConn, our only ranked matchup for Friday. UConn laying 15, total of 145.5. I'm seeing some 15.5s out there. You want to take it with the Longhorns?
Well, especially because this thing opened up, I think, at 13 or 12.
Yeah, 13.
It shot up over the past couple hours. And at this point, I think you had to buy into the Longhorns. I know they're not great. I know Virginia went there and smashed them. But at the same point, like, UConn's been good, but they've lacked a little consistency. Some of this roster is young. And I think this is just a decent spot to be able to get Texas. Now, I know it is the first road game for Texas, which is a little concerning, but 15.5? I mean, like, UConn wins by 10, 11, 8, something like that. This is a big number. This is not like they're playing a, you know, Merrimack or something. 15.5, I'm going to take a shot now on the Longhorns.
And then quickly, tell me about Cal Baptist. I feel like a lot of sharp people like them this year. They're laying 4, 4.5 on the road to Eastern Washington. Total's 151.
Yeah, I do like them a lot this year. If you got a chance to watch them, they've passed the eye test in most matchups, even with the power conference teams. They have a really elite player in Dominic Daniels, a guard that just lights it up. And then Eastern Washington on the other side of this is coached by Dan Munson there that came over from Long Beach State. They are not what they once were. They're really bad on defense so far this season. So I think Cal Baptist, despite being on the road for quite a while, I think they're going to go into Cheney, Washington and get that win, lay the points.
He is Colby Dant. Give him a follow on X at the Colby D and check out his podcast, The College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Thank you, my friend. We'll chat again next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
VSiN Morning Bets coming up on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What a ride here on tonight's program. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for hanging out with us all night long. You can always catch the show, SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God bless America. I have got a lot of NFL bets that we're going to have to get to here as part of our VSiN Morning Bets segment. But I also want to remind you, if you miss any part of the show, you can always go back and download it wherever you get your podcast. Larry Harstein, our opening hour, had a few really sharp angles on a few bets this week in the National Football League. Stuart Durst with really, really deep dives when it comes to the NFL props. He was there in our second hour. Arthur DeCesar earlier this hour took us behind the counter at the Westgate. And then Colby Dant, all over college football, college basketball, all of that available wherever you get your podcast. It's now time for the most important segment we do every week, which is our VSiN Morning Bet segment on a Thursday here. So let's start looking at the games coming up this weekend. Raiders at the Eagles. Philly's laying 11.5. Total's 38.5. All likelihood, we will be seeing Kenny Pickett at quarterback for Las Vegas in this game as Geno Smith deals with a shoulder and back injury. I would think about Philly minus the 11.5 or the over 38.5. This is going to be treated like a scrimmage for the Eagles here. I think AJ Brown's live to go off, but I'm not going to touch it in case they call off the dogs and maybe they find this as an opportunity to work in Devontae Smith more. Instead, from a betting perspective, my favorite play in this game is Ashton Jeanty, over 20.5 receiving yards. Philly does struggle at times to defend running backs, catching the ball in the backfield. They're not horrible, but they're definitely in the bottom 6 or 7 in the league in that regard. And I think Kenny Pickett, because it doesn't have the hubris of Geno Smith, won't push the ball downfield. I think a few dump-offs are coming to Ashton Jeanty in this game. The Jets are at the Jags. Jacksonville's laying 13.5, totals 41.5. I lean under, especially if it's Brady Cook at quarterback for the Jets. I think Jacksonville gets a lead. They call off the dogs. They got bigger things going on down the road to finish the season if they want to win the South. So I think under 41.5 would be the way I look. Etienne makes sense from a prop perspective because without Quinnen Williams to clog the middle for the Jets, they're really having issues stopping the run. I think he could run all over them. But again, if they're up a lot late, how many runs does he get in the fourth quarter? I think Mason Taylor, the tight end for New York, has a really good matchup with them trailing from behind, but you have to put your faith that you have a quarterback that can get him the football. Number's not up yet because he's dealing with an injury. He may not actually play, but if he does play, I think he's live to go over his receiving yards. Cleveland is at Chicago. Bears are laying 7.5. Total's 38.5. I think the total's too high. I think if you look at Chicago, they played a lot of close games, and the Cleveland defense will keep them in this one. So I think the under is the way to look. Stefanski 7-1 to the under versus the NFC North, 5-1 to the under as a road dog of 7.5 to 14 points. I think his defense controls that. I think the Bears win in a low-scoring game, making just a few more plays in the fourth quarter than the Browns. Buffalo's laying 1.5 in Foxborough against the Patriots. Your total is 49.5. I have a bunch of plays in this game, but from a side perspective, I lean Buffalo. They need it. They want it. It's not the best reason to always back a team, but I trust them to find a way, and I trust Josh Allen to do so. He's going to do it with his legs. That's the vehicle to get him there. Over 35.5 rush yards for Allen. I think he calls his own number because he cannot trust those receivers on the outside, which goes with my next two plays. Ty Johnson, over 14.5 receiving yards. New England's not great at defending running backs catching the ball in the backfield. And then the tight end, Dalton Kincaid. He is the number one target in the passing game. Dawson Knox went off last week. Kincaid was a little banged up, but Kincaid still cleared his number. I think Kincaid, another week to get healthy. I think he ends up being the focal point of the offense through the air for the Buffalo Bills on the road at New England. Arizona is at Houston. The total is 42.5. Texans are laying 9.5. I bet Arizona plus 9.5 because Jonathan Gannon is a guy who thrives in the underdog role. Much better as a dog than he is as a favorite. Looking at Gannon's trends in that situation, 22-15 against the spread as a dog, 13-7 against the spread as a road dog. And while I love Houston, the offense still has some questions to be answered. And I'm not sure they're capable of covering a number this big against a feisty Arizona team and a coach that I think is still kind of coaching for his job this season. Next game, Baltimore laying 2.5 at Cincinnati, totals 51.5. I kind of like the over, but I also love some player props in this game. First, we're going to look at Chase Brown, over 18.5 receiving yards. He's had pretty good success in his career catching the ball against this Baltimore defense. It's not great defending the running backs who catch the football well. Also, I like both tight ends for Baltimore. You're going to hear a lot of people say this. It's going to sound very, very simplistic, but Cincinnati can't defend tight ends. It's going back like 2 or 3 years now. They're historically bad this year. I think Likely and Andrews both go over their numbers of 37.5 and 39.5. And at worst, you go 50-50, but there's a good, very good chance both of them clear those numbers against this Cincinnati defense that doesn't know how to defend the middle of the field in what should be a high-scoring game. I expect a lot of yards, a lot of points. This could be a fun game to bet a lot of anytime touchdown bets as well. Chargers at the Chiefs. KC's laying 5.5. Your total is 41.5. I lean Kansas City and laying the points. It's a big number in division, and it's hard to do so just because Jim Harbaugh is so good in division. Against the AFC West, he's 9-0 against the spread since taking over for the Chargers. He's also 3-0 against the spread coming off of Monday Night Football. I think the under is the best way to attack this game because I don't think the Chargers offense is going to be able to move the ball a ton against Kansas City on the road in Arrowhead in the cold with that team needing this game to keep their playoff hopes alive. Under 41.5 is the way I'd look in that game. Washington's at the Giants. New York's laying 2.5. Your total is 46.5. I took the Giants on the money line -135 a few days ago. I think the over is in play here because I think both defenses stink. And I have some bets on the wide receivers. We went Terry McLaurin over 60.5 receiving yards. Wan'Dale Robinson over 56.5 receiving yards. I mean, both quarterbacks get their number one targets involved against secondaries that are super suspect. And because I like the over, I think both of those dudes end up having massive days in this game. Tennessee's going to Santa Clara, taking on the Niners. The total is 44.5. San Fran is laying 12.5. To me, when it comes to Tennessee and it comes to the Niners, who allow the most receptions per game to opposing running backs, give me Tajay Spears over 21.5 receiving yards. Look at his numbers the last few weeks. He's clearing this pretty regularly as a guy for Cam Ward to dump the ball off to him because that is something this defense does for San Fran, funnel the ball to the running back catching the ball. I think Tajay Spears, an explosive runner. We only need 2, maybe 3 catches to get over this number, and I think he does get 3 catches based on how San Francisco operates defensively. Green Bay is laying 2.5 on the road at Denver. Your total is 42.5. In this game, I'm on the under. I think both defenses are going to control the tempo, the pacing of this game, and I think it's going to be tough for Jordan Love on the road to really drive the football and pick up the chunk plays he does from time to time. I wouldn't lay it with Green Bay because every time we start to believe in them, they remind us that maybe they're not ready for big time. If I was going to bet them, I'd go money line, but I think I'd wait out for a +3 on Denver and take the points with them in this spot. Detroit is at the Rams. LA's laying 6. The total's 54.5, which is a really big total for an NFL game. I like Detroit. Give me the 6 points here. And I'm a big Rams guy. I bet them to win the NFC. I also have the Lions to win the Super Bowl. So there's good people on both sides of this one. I'm on both sides of this one long term, but in the vacuum of one game, I think the Lions play them tough. Their season's on the line every single week the rest of the way. They're going to pull out all the stops. Dan Campbell, every trick in his bag is going to be out there because they need every win possible to stay in the playoff hunt. So I like them in this situation, catching 6 points on the road at SoFi. Carolina is a 2.5-point road favorite at New Orleans. The total in that game is 40.5. I have 2 plays I really like. 1, Rico Dowdle, over 13.5 rush attempts. If they're going to win this game, Carolina, they're going to have to rely on the run game of Dowdle. 13.5 just feels low. I feel like he's a lock for 15 or 16 in this game at New Orleans. I also like Juwan Johnson, over 38.5 receiving yards against a defense for Carolina. That's not great against tight ends, and he has a rapport with Tyler Shuck going all the way back to college at Oregon a while back. Minnesota is at Dallas. The Cowboys are laying 5.5. Your total is 48.5. I haven't gotten there yet with this game, but I'm considering a receiving yard prop on Aaron Jones potentially. I know he's been dealing with an injury, but I think that's the way I'd attack this one. I think the over 47.5 is in play because Dallas's defense, while they made an improvement, I still think Minnesota can move the ball against them. Justin Jefferson has a great matchup. The problem with betting that is you have to trust J.J. McCarthy to get him the football here, and I'm not quite ready to do that. So that is where we stand with that. And then finally, Miami at Pittsburgh on Monday night. Steelers laying 3, totals 41.5. If you can get a 3.5 on Miami, there's 1 or 2 out there on the market. That's where I would look. Also, I think Jonnu Smith has a good matchup against the Steelers defense, especially without Watt potentially in the lineup dealing with a really scary lung issue. They won't pressure Tua. He'll be able to get the ball out, and I think Jonnu Smith could go up against his former team and have a really good name. I'm sorry, that's the other way around. For Pittsburgh, Jonnu Smith for Pittsburgh against Miami. And then for Tua, I think Tua is live in this game for Waddle, for Malik Washington, for a lot of these receivers to have good games because he should have a clean pocket to throw to against the Steelers' defense. That'll do it for us here on Cashing Out, but stay with VSiN all day long. It gets started 7 a.m. Eastern. VSiN by the books, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, followed by Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game. And then you got prop points with the guru, John Hansen, at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I'll see you next time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.